if they start drilling again. And then we'll go to, I guess, Rabbi David's classroom. Okay, this is the Yatta Dishmaya. We're up to the halachos of Makir Patish Bekalim, but before we do that, I figured we would go back a little bit to the Isser Tzkiya Bekalim, and as I was preparing the next set of shiurim after Makir Patish going to Oel, I figured that now would be the best time also to discuss Binyan L'Sha'a. So before we do Makir Patish Bekalim, I want to revisit something we spoke about before I left, and then Be'ezer Hashem, go to Makir Patish Bekalim. Last time we had mentioned that there is a fundamental machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish in regards to how to understand the heter of the Magen Avram that was quoted in the Mishneh Berurah in Shin Tesvav. Excuse me, Shin Yud. Not Shin Tesvav. Shin Yud Gimel. Shin Yud Gimel by Mita Shel Prakim. Shin Yud Gimel Mem Hei. That the Mag Avram had said in regards to jars, that when you have jars that are open and closed, so even though there's an Isser Tzkiya, so then in such a case, the halacha is that that is going to be mutter. Why? So let's start with the Mahalacha Rav Shlomo Zalman that I saw in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is, we're going to see, is the standard Havana in the Poskim. And Shin Yud Gimel Chaf Aleph, on the first page, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, summarizes the sugya, and then towards the end of Sifkatan Chaf Aleph, he says the following. Umikol Makom, three lines from the top, on the second column, you have the covers of jars that have channels or ridges that they're screwed into. It's not made to last. They're not made to last. And so therefore, rak leposfon leposfon tadmid tadir, and therefore the halacha is that's going to be mutter. And last time we saw this through the eyes of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and it's mafurish in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in that manner, that derech is to open and to close. We saw last time that the Chazon Ish has much more of a mechudesh dikum mahalach. The Chazon Ish is of the opinion that the reason why it's mutter, this was in last week's booklet, I didn't photocopy it again, Chazon Ish said that really, when it comes to the cover and the jar, they never become one kli. You're never entirely mahadik them into one kli. Because the Chazon Ish l'shitaso holds that when the jar is closed, it's not a kli at all. So what's the iser of mita shel prakim? Mita shel tersayim, or sad and sadin shel prakim, the beds that are put together and the pole that is used to paint, so that you screw the different pieces together. In both of those instances, what you have over there is you're taking different parts and you're combining them into a new kli. You're making them into a new kli. Chazon Ish says, you never made a new kli when you have a jar and you close it on the top. Those are the two explanations that we had. We had nafkaminas in regards to electricity, which we're not going to discuss. But I did want to point out to you that I realize that there are going to be many nafkaminas that we didn't discuss, that's lemaisa, that might very well, one of them we alluded to, and Yaakov had a good reference, I'll follow up with that, that l'chura would be totally in that machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Number one, in regards, we mentioned the case of Lego. So what would the halacha be in regards to putting together Lego? I copied for you last time Rabbi Ribiat's approach. But before we follow Rabbi Ribiat out of self, the Aruch HaShabbos points out you summarize Yaakov, the halacha lemaisa psak, which lechura is correct, but the Archa Shabbos points out that at first glance that should be totally in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav versus the Chazon Ish. And again, Rav Shlomo Zalman would fit in the approach of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Dahainu. If you go with the idea that anything that is constantly taken apart and put together again, that in such a case that would not qualify as bona. So then, according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, it's a davar pashut. Then, in such a case, it would be mutter. However, according to the Chazon Ish, we don't have that makor in the Magen Avraham. So where do you have a heter utilizing the idea that something that is constantly put together and taken apart all of a sudden is mutter? Mechitesi. In fact, and this I would leave for more discussion in the Beis Medrash, the Chazon Ish brings a raya from the case of Kana Shel Sayyadin. Look, we have construction that's going on right next to us, so it's in Yana Dion. What's Kana Shel Sayyadin? So Kana Shel Sayyadin are, you want to paint high up on the ceiling, so then you add different parts, you put them together to be able to reach high up. And then you take them apart. Says the Chazon Ish, those things you're constantly putting together and taking apart. Nevertheless, the halacha is that it's going to be asur. So the understanding of the Magen Avraham, the way the Shulchan Aruch HaRav presents it, requires explanation. There might be good terutzim. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav will have his good terutzim. We discussed a little bit in the Beis Medrash. I'm going to leave what the terutzim are. But at the end of the day, the Chazon Ish seems to be of the opinion, the Archa Shabbos argues, that just because, Yaakov, you pointed out, the Chura, if you're taking it apart, it's going to be mutter. But according to Chazon Ish, Yesh Lefalfel, at the end of the day, you're putting it together. It's something that is put together in a manner that's Lechol HaPachos Mehudak. So then in such a case, there might be room to be Machmer. Where did we see this? Where was Yaakov's reference in the Archa Shabbos? First of all, on your photocopies, after Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you have Reish Samach Dalet, Reish Samach Hei, where he summarizes what I just told you in terms of Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chazon Ish. On Reish Pei Vav, so there he says in Os Nun Hei, Magash HaMechuba L'Kisei Yeladin, Reish Pei Vav, Reish Pei Zayin, Os Nun Tes, Yesh HaMatir L'Harkiv Avnei Lego, Af Bofen Shar Kova Mudeket, V'Yesh HaOsrim V'Zevi Re'ei Ha'ara. And he starts out in the Ha'ara, and he says that according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Davar Pashut, that's something you are going to take apart and therefore is going to be mutter. According to Chazon Ish, Yesh Lefalfel, that there's room to be falfel. In the end, it could be, even according to Chazon Ish, it's going to be mutter. Others say not that way. It's interesting how Rav Shlomo Zalman comes out. If you take a look in the Shulchan Shlomo, which is a few pages in, the Shulchan Shlomo appears right after the Maisa Choshev. It says Arachayim on the top. It doesn't say Shulchan. It says Shulchan Shlomo lower into the page. He says as follows: an Aleph Beis. Ein lemnoas hayiladim livnos bikubios ubavnei pelel minehem. You don't have to stop the children. It says sas yesh ladim demasharina on the parek mita refuia lachzira. Hanim of nation mishtam shibatamid lamita. Mashein came bavnei pelel shurigim lasas mamsura shonos. So Rav Shlomo Zalman tries to differentiate between the case of the Lego and the case of Mita Shel Pratim, that there you're always building it in the same manner. So then in such a case, then it's going to be Usher. In contrast to the Lego, every single time you're doing it in a different manner. At the end of the day, Rav Shlomo Zalman does seem to conclude in Os Aleph, he says, Ela mishum chinuch ein la'argilam bekach ve'ein legodol lasot b'zeh imaktanim. He says at the end of the day, even though me'ikr didina it's mutter, because it resembles bonus so much, one shouldn't encourage the kids to do it. I was happy that the lashon that I had taught it to you was very similar to the way Rav Shlomo Zalman had said it. It's me'ikr didina he thinks is mutter, but the adults should not participate in it, and you shouldn't stop the children from playing with it. Interestingly, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Hei, on the next page, in Chav Beis Chav Zayin, was asked, in Chav Zayin, Mischakei Yiladim Shel Kubiyot, O Asuyim Michalkei Plastic, what's the halacha? Imei Mukta. So Rav Moshe answered, Ein Litein Liyadim Shishakum Mischakim Shel Binyin V'Sfira. Seems like the Rav Moshe was choshesh that it was binyan b'stira. If I'm not mistaken, my father told me that Rav Schechter Shlita has another Rav Moshe that's not talking directly about this, that Rav Schechter thought that according to Rav Moshe it's going to be mutter. But I'm sure it's an earlier Rav Moshe. I couldn't find the tshuva inside that my father was referring to. But at the end of the day, Rav Moshe over here in Chelek Hay comes out, is nota also Lekula. But Lekula, according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, there's a lot of room to argue that one could be Mekel. Rav Shlomo Zalman also thought that it was one could be Mekel, and he somehow tried to differentiate between this and Amita Shel Prakim. And according to Chazon Ish, it will be a lot harder to be Mekel, even though you take a look at the Aruch HaShabbos also tries to suggest why this would be a little bit different than one could be Mekel. Yes, Shmuel? Sure.
Rav Moshe came out, he was Mekel.
He was Machmir. He was Mekel on Muktza, but he was Machmir on Binyan and Stir. But it's a very short tshuva, and it's not clear why Rav Moshe is Mekel.
And my second question was,
why is Machmir? Thank you.
What's the spar that why does it matter whether you build it the same way every time or you build it differently?
That's a good question. Why should it make a difference? I think that his cheshbon being that we see that it's not the form of binyan is insignificant. In other words, you're not doing anything that's halachically significant. It shows that it's just a toy that's being used. It's not a maisa umnos. Because the whole svara, according to Ramban, is that the reason why binyan bekelim is aser is because you have a maisa umnos. So when's it a maisa umnos? So then that's when you tighten together the mita. But in other cases, then it wouldn't qualify. Okay, so that would be one nafkamina between the Chazon Ish and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Again, take a look at the Aruch HaShabbos that tries to justify even according to the Chazon Ish. So of course, Daya Shulchan Harav Lismoch Alav, especially Rav Shlomo Zalman in other contexts, Paskin that way. And clearly, one does not have to stop children even if they've reached the age of chinuch. Although Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that one should not encourage them to do it. Another nafkamina would be, this comes up all the time, and that would be attaching a table to a baby chair, a high chair. What would the halacha be as far as that is concerned? So here, if we're talking about a high chair that you're constantly taking out the chair, the table, and you're putting it back in, so then l'chura, according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that's going to be mutter because it's not going to be called bona, and that's going to be the case of the Magen Avram. It's going to be the same thing as the cover of the jar. However, according to the Chazon Ish, the fact that you're constantly taking it in and out is not going to be mutter. V'araya, we saw last time that the Chazon Ish was machmir on electricity that you're turning off and turning on many, many times during the day. And that's exactly the Mar Mokum that I started reading for you before, on Reish Pei Vav, where the Aruch HaShabbos again is tolit on this above Machlokas. Magash on Mechubar L'Kisei L'Avim, Yesh Ha'avkin B'Zeh Ben Sugim Shonim, Im HaMagash Mechubar L'Kisei B'Tzura Refuya, if it's attached loosely, then for sure it's going to be mutter. Vima magash mechubar, going to Reish Pei Zayin, Betzura mehudekes, if it's tight, v'derech b'nei adam l'farkul arkivo tader, re'e ha'ara. See the ha'ara. What's that ha'ara? That's the machlokas between, again, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chazon Ish. Here, the Aruch HaShabbos points out that according to the Chazon Ish, there might be even more reason to be machmir than the playing with the Lego, even though you could be mefalpa within the Chazon Ish, but l'chura that would be the halacha. Another nafkamina would be closing a salt shaker. Would that qualify as something that would be bona? So if we look at it from the perspective of the Chazon Ish, again, the Chazon Ish said that the salt shake, the can, when you close it, the can becomes one entire entity, but it's not that you took two different pieces and you joined them together, but rather they're always two distinct entities, because when they're closed, it's not a kli at all. That was the Chazon Ish's point. So when it comes to closing the salt shaker, when you close the salt shaker, there, you actually made the two pieces even more functional. So then, according to the Chazon Ish, you really have to be mahadik. L'chura, that would be aser. According to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, there's a lot more room to be makel, because if it's something that's constantly opened and closed, so then in such a case, there's room to argue that that one would be allowed to open it. There, I definitely saw a poskim. I don't see them now. He discusses, the Aruch HaShabbos discusses it as well. I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, here I got it. Reish Pei Zayin, Oth Nun Ches, Mutel Havrig Rosh Al Milchia, Lechem Mitzvei Shel Bagut Tinok, Afilu Betzura Mehudekev. So here, he's matir l'kulei alma. Why? So he argues that you don't do tkia by these two cases, by baby bottle and the top of the salt shaker. You're not doing tkia, you're only doing hiduk. I'm not sure I see the difference between salt shakers that I have at home. You screw them the same way you screw the top of a jar. So I'm not sure why he's not tola within the Chazon Ish. He says that this is only a case of hiduk, and the Chazon Ish is mekel on hiduk. It would seem to me that l'chura, according to the Chazon Ish, there might be room to be machmer as well. But we can definitely follow the lenient position. Also, we have the Shulchan Aruch Harav, v'chulei v'chulei. Even though it's not opened as often as the jar of with its cover, nevertheless, it's something that the derech is to open and close. And in such a case, it would seem that that would be something one could be make along, combined with the fact that Aruch HaShabbos, for some reason, argues that it's hiduk as opposed to tkiah. If anybody could figure out what the pshat, why he assumed that it was hiduk, not tkiah, I'd be happy. Unless he's assuming a different type of salt shaker than I am. Most of the salt, right? Everybody, you agree with me? Most salt shakers seem to me to be the same thing as the top of the jar. Okay, the Aruch HaShabbos is just, lahavdil, that they say in the name of Rasalvechik, only Rasalvechik in his from Brisk is able to say it. He said that the Shulchan Aruch is there to is to give us a sense of boundaries. That is something to guide. But my Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael did not take that approach. You have to look at that second Shulchan Aruch. The Rav was a giant. Anyhow, so the Aruch HaShabbos for us is Lahavdil. The Aruch HaShabbos for us is a general guide. It's not we're not meshuvah to look into that. Fine. So, but from Milchia Lechura, the halacha would be in regards to that it could be mutter for those above reasons. I'm not sure the last case that the Aruch HaShabbos discusses over here. I'm not sure exactly what it is. So I just sort of applied it to the modern example in Osnun Zayin. Maybe someone knows Hebrew in their translation on page Reish Pei Zayin. I'm not sure what type of jar bottle he's talking about, but the example that I thought of was the soda stream bottle. Attaching the soda stream bottle to the gas dispenser. Everybody knows what I'm talking about?
No, because I know stuff like that.
Okay, very good. So what is it? So actually, the soda stream bottle is right down the dispenser is right down the hall. They have one in the, for the, they take good care of the staff. You got to see the coffee room over there. Every single possible way to drink anything in that room. So there's something called. First of all, you tell us what
is it? It's a metal bottle which has the water in the bottom.
Okay.
And then have the top which has the water is going to come out when you add the carbon.
The carbon
dioxide. And so you get a little tube like that you screw in.
So it's almost like the soda stream thing.
I don't know.
Okay.
But this, it doesn't last. I was told the soda stream lasts a year or something like that.
The gas inside the soda?
Yeah. This lasted a day.
But the bottom line is, for our Shiloh, the Shiloh is about attaching it.
Yeah.
About it, as far as attaching is concerned. So it sounds to be it's a good application to that case. For those who know soda stream and for those who know the older edition. At the end of the day, l'chura, when you put the soda stream bottle in, so then you attach it, your b'ofen tkia, but at the same time, the whole process is to attach it and then to take it out. So l'chura, again, there's a lot of room to be made to al pi shulchan aruch harav, that would qualify as something that you do constantly, and therefore it's not for any, the whole nature of it is only for a short period of time, and therefore there's room in both those cases to be makel. Again, it would seem to me, according to the Chazon Ish, there's more room to be mefalpel that it could be aser. Yeah.
But the Chazon Ish say the aser, the water bottle that had spout that you drink from on top, is not to take off the cap, but I think it's kind of useless.
In other words, how could, according to the Chazon Ish, how could you close a water bottle?
If it's like this, then you have to take it off to use it. It's not like you could drink it when the cap is on.
Right. So what's the heter for that?
It's the same problem as the soldier.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good we have the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, huh? I mean, also, I mean, the world didn't pass like the Chazon Ish in regards to electricity either. These are all things for the base medrash to be mefalpel. Again, where the Aruch HaShabbos in Lego says that even the Chazon Ish would be makel, is, and there are two references that I haven't discussed in the Aruch HaShabbos. One is Oz Dalid, where he tries to cut down to size a little bit the Chazon Ish. That's an Oz Dalid, as well as an Oz Pei Vav. So take a look in the Aruch HaShabbos over there. Within the Chazon Ish, there is a lot of room to be mefalpel. Topic number two is an extension of this shayla. Within Lego, going back to Lego, there might be another tzad to be made to. I had this in the booklet last time. I'm not going to read it inside, but it's also in this booklet, I believe, in Rabbi Ribiak's 1050. If you take a look, the way I'm presenting it now is consistent. As I mentioned last time, I'm very much, very, very happy with the way Rabbi Rivia presents Bona and Maka the Patish. And the way I'm presenting now is similar to what Rabbi Rivia says on page 1050. But let's do it the way Rabbi Rivia does in the back of his sefer, and that's do it through the sugya. There is a very important sugya that we've been dancing around that we're going to continue to dance around. Is not going to be halacha lemaisa, 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 but you need to have this in your back pocket in terms of dealing with Shilas Abona. The Gemara Lamed Aleph Amid Beis that we've discussed previously discusses the halacha of being Soser and Bona Bimikoma. There's a sheet in the Gemara that we discussed that says that the only time you're going to be Chayiv for Soser is if you're being Soser Amanas Livnos Bimikoma. And the Gemara asks an interesting question. The Gemara says, but wait a second, the Mishkan itself, they weren't Soser Amanas Livnos Bimikoma. They took it apart, they traveled, and then they built it again. So Gemara has an awesome line that the Chassam Sofer explodes, and to this day people are fighting about how to use this Chassam Sofer. The Gemara says, 9 lines from the Banim, Shani Hasam Dichsiv Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. There it's different because they traveled Al Pi Hashem. Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Kisosa Amanas Livnos Bimikomo Dami. The Gemara is saying a fantastic chidush, and the Gemara says that anywhere they were going to build it is exactly where they took it apart. Why? Because when they took it apart, when they put the Mishkan down, they knew Hashem was going to have them move, and they knew they were going to take it apart to put it in another place. So it's like all one place. Take a look at Rashi that elaborates on that chidush. Now, we're not focusing at all on Sosam Natslunos B'Mekomo. But the Chassam Sofer, in a seminal tshuva that we're going to discuss in the future, in Simin Ayin Beis, uses this Gemara to tell us that there's something called a heter called Binyan L'Sha'a. That if you're being bona, but you don't intend to have the Binyan to be an extended period of time, so then in such a case, even if it's a lasting binyan, even if we're going to say that it's something that by nature is considered something that you do malacha on, that it has a lasting binyan, it's not like the cover of a jug, the cover of a jar. It's something that's a lasting binyan. Nevertheless, if your intention is to do it for a short period of time, the post can discuss whether a short period of time will be less than a day or less than 7 days. That we're not going to be able to get into this time around. But if it's for a short period of time, so then in such a case, it's not going to be bonus. So let's take a look at the Chassam Sofer where he quotes this. In Shuva Ayin Beis, where the Chassam Sofer says the following. You know what? Before we do the Chasam Sofer, let me show you the Yerushalmi's version of it, because that's how the Chasam Sofer presents it. And then we'll see it in the Chasam Sofer. The Yerushalmi should be in the booklet as well after Shlomo Zalman. Yerushalmi, not make it play in. The page right before the Chasam Sofer. So the Yerushalmi raises a very, very similar question. The Yerushalmi says, about 10 lines in, first 1 line is Mishum, Ma binyan haya b'mishkan, shayinosnin krashim al gabe adonim. V'loi l'sha haisa, first word on the line is l'sha, asks the Yerushalmi, but why is the Mishkan considered a Mishkan, a binyan, shel kayama? Wasn't the binyan l'shah for a short period of time? Amar Rabbi Yosi mikivan shel yuchonim v'nosim al piyadimur kimi shehi la'olam. It's considered as if it was forever. In other words, just like the Bavli says, that's not considered soser shelo livnos b'mikomo, shelo b'mikomo, so too, says the Yerushalmi, that's why it's not considered Labinyan L'sha. What does it mean? That since they were waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their intention was to put it there forever until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to move. So then that's not considered Binyan L'sha. That's Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Bon, said, Mikima Shiftichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shahu Machnisan La'aretz, Kimishu l'sha. The other man, the Amr, says no. Ain't a chanami. It was a binyan l'sha because they knew that they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'atot b'kein your chayiv. Says the Chasam Sofer, we have two deos in the Yerushalmi whether binyan l'sha is chayiv or not. The first day in the Yerushalmi is assuming that binyan l'sha is not chayiv. And the only reason why in the Mishkan they were chayiv is because they were waiting al pi adibur, like the Bavli says. While the second day holds, then no, even a binyan l'sha is also going to be chayiv. Comes along the Chasam Sofer, and Chasam Sofer says, based on this, we see, now we can look at the Chasam Sofer in Shuvayin Beis. First word on the line is Vayushalmi. The Chasam Sofer over here is talking about whether opening an umbrella is bona on Shabbos, and we're going to get back to it, because we haven't done Ol yet. See, he says as follows. He says that the Yerushalmi has two deos, and the Bavli, in the Sugya of Sos Almanas Livnos, uses the klal, al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisod. So what do you see? You see that the Bavli seems to come out and suggest that when it comes to the rule of Bone is chayiv in the Mishkan because it was La'olam. But in general, Binyan L'sha is going to be Mutter. That's the Chazanish's, the Chasam Sofer, excuse me, Zerayim. Would you like me to say it again? It would be my pleasure to say it again. There are two days in the Yerushalmi. Whether Binyan L'sha is chayiv. In what case? The Mishkan itself. Do you say that when it came to the Mishkan, you see that they put it up with the intention to put it down? So the Yerushalmi says no. The first day says no. Because since they intended to stay there until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them otherwise, they intended to be there the whole time. Mashma, the Binyan L'sha, is not Chayiv. That's the first day in the Yerushalmi. The second day of the Yerushalmi says no. You see from here, the Binyan L'sha is Chayiv. How does the Bavli Paskin argues of Chasam Sofer? Well, the first Svara of the Yerushalmi is brought down in the Bavli on Lamed Aleph on the base. What's that svara? That al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yiso makes it that it's so sal menas livnos b'mikomo. So too, that's the same svara that the Yerushalmi used to say that it is a binyan la'olam and not a binyan l'sha. Mashma, that binyan l'sha is going to be mutter. So today what we've done so far is have two Roman numerals. Number one, Roman numeral number one is the discussion of many kalim. That if you intend to take them apart, the nature, let me rephrase that, the nature of the kli is to be taken apart. So then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. That was a Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Chazon Ish disagreed with that. And so therefore, lego, l'chura, would be a nafgamina. Now we're introducing in Roman numeral 2, another heter. What's the other heter? The heter of Binyan L'shah. What's the difference between Binyan L'shah and the first heter? The first heter was the nature of the kli itself. There are certain kalim, like the cover of the jar, that you're constantly taking them apart and putting together. The baby chair, you're constantly putting it apart and taking it together. Soda stream, you're constantly taking it apart and putting it together. So that might be a heter in the nature of the chepts of the kli, then there wouldn't be binyan in that kli. That's Roman numeral 1. Now we're introducing an even bigger heter. Roman numeral 2 is saying that when you have a binyan, even in the kli, it's not necessarily that the nature of the kli is that it's constantly taken apart, but you are doing it in a manner in which your intention is to take it apart. So there, the Gemara seemed to say, the Yerushalmi seemed to say, that the Mishkan is not that example. Why? Because otherwise you wouldn't be chayiv. So if you do binyan l'shah, then in such a case it might be mutter. And the Chassam Sofer uses this as one of the tzadim to argue that an umbrella is not going to qualify as boneh. We're not done with an umbrella. We still have to learn the halachas of olah. We haven't done anything in regard to olah. But the Chassam Sofer uses, this was the best place to bring it up. The Chassam Sofer uses the sugya in regards to be a tzad lahatir. That's binyan l'shav. When you open up the umbrella, your intention is to eventually close it. So too, if you're going to put together anything where the intention is to take it apart, as all of the above examples, the Lego and the baby chair, etc., then this will be a heter. Now this is an even bigger heter. Because up until now, we were talking about those things where the nature of the object is to take apart and to put apart. Here, this heter of binyan l'shav, the Gemara had a havamina to say, even in regards to an edifice, that then in such a case, it would be mutter. Halacha l'maisa, poskim aren't willing to rely on this alone. That there's a such a tzad of binyan l'shav. The reason they don't is because many reject the Chassam Sofer's right. It's a big person. It's the Chassam Sofer. But the Shisas HaShabbos quotes that there are others who argue that the Bavli seems to be in the other direction. Because the Bavli seems to say, this is a bonus. If you don't, I'm going to say this in 1 minute or 2 minutes. This is mamash a bonus. You're not mechuyev to know this. The Gemara on Ayin Dalid Amud Beis asks about kosher in the Mishkan when they tie down the Yesedos. The Gemara says about 10 lines from the bottom, Kshira Mishkan Hechahavi Amarava Sheken Kosher B'Yesedos Olim. Says the Gemara, Ahu Kosher Amanas Lahatir Hu. But that was Kosher Amanas Lahatir. And the Yerushalmi on that Sugya points out the Shvisas HaShabbos says that that's the same Machlokis of binyan l'shah or not. So the Bavli itself assumed that even though it's almanas lahatir, you're still going to be chayiv when it came to the Mishkan in regards to binyan l'shah, even though the kosher was almanas lahatir. So Shvisas HaShabbos here, I'll give you the Maramokon if you want to do it in Seder. It's on the same page of the Chassam Sofer, on the other side of the Chassam Sofer, Dibra Maskel v'Isi v'Sefer Pesach HaDvir, where he quotes the Shvisas HaShabbos, this is the Shvisas HaShabbos, where he quotes the Sefer Pesach HaDvir, where the Pesach HaDvir says that that the Bavli in another place seems to be against the Chassam Sofer. That the Bavli himself, that the Chassam Sofer pointed out, seems to assume that Binyan L'shah is not considered Binyan. The Yerushalmi itself has the same discussion, and is told that what the Bavli says on the exact issue of binyan l'shah, which is mashma that the Bavli itself held that the Mishkan is considered amanas lahatir and amanas listar. Yet nevertheless, it's for bone, even though it's binyan l'shah, you're going to be chayiv. That's what the Shvisas HaShabbos argues. Hayotze mizvareinu, we have a more operative heter in terms of halacha l'maisa, and then we have a tziruf. That there are poskim at times that are making l'binyan l'shah, but halacha l'maisa is generally not used because of the Shvisas HaShabbos and many other poskim's questions. So If you take a look at contemporary poskim when they're discussing binyan dekelim, most of them will not evoke the binyan l'shah, but it's important for you to know that the Chasam Sofer, based on the Gemara Lamed Aleph on the base, mentions it. The Shvisas HaShabbos, based on the Gemara Nayin Dalin on the base, says the Chasam Sofer's raya that the Bavli Paskins, like the day of the holds of binyan l'shah is mutter, is nistar from that Gemara. Ramati, you have your hand before?
I understand the Chasam Sofer is raya, the Bavli using it for context, maybe it's the whole.
In other words, you're saying on the Yerushalmi's discussion, it would give another teretz. But in regards to this issue, it would say, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael will take care of Soser, Amanat Shalom Livnot Svi Mekomo. But it won't take care of the other problem, Mehechi Tasi. Yeah, I think there are Achronim that make that point. What's that? Nachon. In other words, this hasn't told us that it's Heter Gomer. All that it's told us is that it's not an Iser. It's not an Iser Doraisa, because the Lashon Yerushalmi. Was just Velo L'Shah Haisa. So maybe it's only regards to Chiyuv. Mehechi Teisi, it's Heter Gomer. That would need to be mefalpel within the Mefarshei Yerushalmi. So, Roman numeral 3. One more thing before we get to Roman numeral 3. A shtender. Let's just apply halacha l'maisa both Roman numeral 1 and Roman numeral 2. So, those shtenders that a person just adjusts by moving them up and down, so then for sure that would be derech tashmisho, and that would not be a problem in terms of binyan bekelim. However, there is a Magen Avram that's machmer on shtenders. Take a look in Shin Yud Gimel Yud Gimel. There's a Magen Avram that says that doing something to the shtender is going to be usher. He's going on the mechaber Shin Yud Gimel Vav. V'yesh mishaomer shadin hakos kedin hamita. We saw machlokes rishonim whether putting together a kos shel prakim is going to be usher or not. So the yesh mishaomer holds that it is. So the Magen Avraham says, "V'hu adin ashtender shebeis hakneses." Same would apply to ashtender in the shul. So Magen Avraham is machmir in regards to ashtender.
If you have to assemble.
So the question is, what exactly is Magen Avraham talking about? What exactly is his ashtender? What does Levushei Srad say? Shu atzui lepa'amim shel prakim. Levushei Srad say that there are times that the shtenders are made of prakim, different pieces that you have to put together. So it's not so clear what the Magen Avraham's shtender was. Not so clear. If anybody has any literature about it, I'd be happy to see. In terms of halacha l'maisa, our shtenders, so it seems that our shtenders, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, would not have a problem at all. Of course, the shtender that you put up and down, that's derech tashmisho, that's absolutely not a problem at all. However, in your booklet, it's right after the tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked, and it's quoted in the Sefer, Pnine Ma'ora Shabbos. I give you the Mar Makom at the end of Binyan Lashta. So Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked, "Stender shenitin lag biol amicho al yidei havrogas haboreg bechozek afu bishem pa'am ma'ashir lechodesh v'yoser." So he was asked in regards to a screw that is screwed in to adjust. So that I think, if there are some shtenders where you adjust the height by putting the screw in and out. So Rav Shlomo Zalman was quoted as saying it's mutter. And he says, yes, I hold that it's mutter. So if you take a look, four lines from the bottom, the Orech puts in what it seems Rav Shlomo Zalman's position was. Valzed das marantas al the afal pishal pon mashir the chodesh v'yoser mikol mokom mutter kimon shemiyuad la'alos to the rido b'tzosa maleu b'tzosa marido. A play on the piyut from Yom No Raim. The kachu derech shimusha. Kemosh Amar Maran Zatzal Bal Peh. Shem Yavo Eilav Yelad V'yirtzel Ishtamish B'Sender B'Vadi Yerida Ba'ofen Sh'yatim Tzarek HaLelad. In Cain, Ein Zeh Nikra L'Kiyum U'Mutar. You never put the shtender L'Kiyum. You're always adjusting it, and therefore the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. And at the end of the day, it falls into the category of Kisui Kalim. That it's no different than the case of Kisui Kalim. They quote the Minchas Yitzchak disagrees and says that it doesn't qualify for Kisui Kalim. So it's going to be mutter because of the Svara of Roman numeral 1. If we were Makel in Roman numeral 2 in terms of Binyan L'Shah, then for sure you could be Makel. But again, the Poskim don't use Binyan L'Shah L'Maisa, but the question is whether you could put it into that category. What remains unclear is what exactly was the Magen Avraham's shtender. How did Rav Shlomo Zalman understand what the Magen Avraham's shtender was? It could be that their shtenderim were as follows. I'm not sure, just speculating. It could be in those days they would have different parts that were just separated entirely. Not that the shtender was being moved up and down, but rather they would take apart the shtender and then put it back together. And so that would probably be the case that the Magen Avraham was machmeron. I think there are still some shtenders that are like that today that are assembled and disassembled. So then, in such a case, there's much more reason to be machmer. Why? Because then it becomes like the Ramban's binyan bekelim, that you're mamish creating a kli from the beginning. In contrast to the case of where you're moving it up and down, then you're not creating a kli from the beginning, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was mekel. Okay. That is the end of Roman numeral 2. Our next topic and our last topic for today is the sugya of makke v'patish, particularly in regards to kelim. That we've been discussing kelim, so I figured that we would continue the sugya, particularly makke v'patish, and that's really where it comes up most of the time for us. So there is a gemara. The gemara appears on Menches Amud Aleph. It's not brought down... this sugi is not brought down in an organized fashion in Shulchan Aruch, so you got to go up and down Shulchan Aruch, and with the help of great Likud Svarim, it's a lot easier to find Makir Patish by Kalim. So Gemara Menches Amud Aleph has the following Gemara: Chizda Shari La Adure Udra Rebei Sidya B'Shabbos. Rav Chizda allowed them to return Udra Lebei Sadya. What's that? Says Rashi. To return feathers that had fallen out of a pillowcase. Asks the Gemara, Eisvei Rav Chanan bar Chizda Rav Chizda, Eisvei Rav Chanan bar Chizda l'Rav Chizda. I have to read it twice to see, maybe I had misspoken, but it's correct. Rav Chanan, the son of Chizda, said to Rav Chizda, Matirin beis hatzavra b'shabbos, Avalo poskin, the ain nosin es hamochin, lo letoch hakar v'lo letoch hakesis b'yomtiv. There's a fair ship brisa that we learned that says that you're not allowed to put feathers into the pillow. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, ha b'chadati ha b'atiki. Rashi explains on the Gemara that the shayla over here is a shayla maka b'patish. The shayla over here is that you're making the pillowcase. So the Gemara's answer is as follows. If you have feathers that fell out of the feather case, so then in such a case, then it would be mutter to put back in. But to make initially, that's going to be a problem. Let's take a look at Rashi. Bechadati, five lines from the bottom, says Rashi. Bechadati, shaloha yameolam lasofa, asr, tahashta amid leimane. Now, it's considered as if he's making a kli. Now, before we go on, I want to ask really a very basic pshat question, which is a conceptual question. Let's crunch the Gemara. The crunch of the Gemara is that when it comes to a pillow, there you're not allowed to put the feathers in, but if they have feathers in and it came out, the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. What's pashat pshat? What happens if you had a building? You build the building, and it fell down. And you built it again, it's going to be mutter?
No. Here the pillows are different, because then there's no such thing as being connected. You don't want your pillow to be totally connected. You want it to be loose. That's what pillows are.
Right.
So there's no such thing as being usher for what we use in terms of Professor Zalman, being medabic things together.
Ah, very good.
The
very
only issue is to make a cleat. So when you put it together for the first time, that's how making
beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, excellent. Okay, so I'll flesh out what Rabban Sion said shortly. But the Chura, this is a fascinating Gemara. Okay, how is this Gepaskins in Shulchan Aruch? Let's see, bottom line, let's finally get back into Shulchan Aruch. Simin Shin, a new topic, we go back to Shulchan Aruch. Simin Shin Mem Sivches, back into Shulchan Aruch. Mochen Shinafu Minakses, Keses, Mutadach Ziram. You're allowed to put them back. I will also lift them Bitchila Bekeses, but you're not allowed to put them initially into the pillow. So, before I advance a little bit more, what Ben Sion said, the Isser over here, Rabbi Osai, it's important to emphasize, is this is Makkah V'Patish. This is the Isser of Makkah V'Patish. So since we're talking about Makkah V'Patish, it's only Makkah V'Patish if you're making it into a Kli. If it was already a Kli, so then, in such a case, then one is not going to be Michaev. Okay. Let's see another example in Shulchan Aruch of Makkah V'Patish Pekelim. So that's example one. Yes, Yaakov.
The case thing where was that the feathers fell out of the pillowcase.
That's right.
So then putting them back together, it's not making it anew, it's just putting them back where they came from.
And why? Well, let's take Mashlem Adavar Dom, if you don't like my Bona case. Let's say Yesh Bishalach HaBishal B'Davar Lach. How's it different than Yesh Bishalach HaBishal B'Davar Lach? The water heat cooled down. So then it's Azda Bishula. So then...
Did the pillow become useless?
Yeah. I mean, whatever... I don't know, useless, but it's... What's that?
It become not functional anymore. And if it was functional the whole time, then I wouldn't say putting feathers in is completing it because it was usable the whole time.
And so then, right? Then we're stuck in a manashach, right?
Why?
That, in other words, so have you created something when you put in the feathers the first time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Has been used before that, ever.
Okay, and now they fell out. Is it usable?
It's usable.
Was it usable before?
You're assuming that all the feathers fell out. What if all the feathers fell out? And it's now flat.
It's mamish flat.
So if it's a kli, just because a kli was built and then you broke it down, like, I guess it was the example that I was saying, you broke it down to its initial pieces again, just the mere fact that it had a history that was once together.
Well, it shouldn't make a difference.
Right.
Shouldn't make a difference. Yet the Gemara seems to say that's mutter in such a case. Mochen shnaflu in keses mutter lazirum. Let's continue on the Mishnah Berurah. Lamed Beis mutter lazirum laose keses. The kivan the kvar ha yasham. Ein b'zem mishum tikumana. Once it was there, it's not subject to tikumana anymore. Very interesting. And then Mishnah Berurah concludes, V'yesh b'zeh chiyuv d'oraisa. In such a case, there's going to be a chiyuv d'oraisa. So I'm going to give a few marmakomos in regards to Makkah V'Patish, and then what we're going to do is contrast Makkah V'Patish to Bona, and then try to see how that contrast is going to be important in terms of Allah L'maisa being Magdir. When is it Mr. Bona? When is it Mr. Makkah V'Patish? And most importantly, when is it mutter both for Bona and Makkah V'Patish? And when is it usher either for Bona or Makkah V'Patish? Okay. There's another example. This does not appear in the Gemara, but this appears in the Magen Avram, in Shin Yud Zayin Beis. Shin Yud Zayin Beis in Shulchan Aruch, and the Magen Avram, it's in Sif Katan Zayin. Says the Magen Avram, Shin Yud Zayin, Sif Katan Zayin. We'll see it also in the Mishnah Berurah. If you have your Mishnah Berurah, you could already open it up, and you don't have the Magen Avram, you could open it up to Shin Yud Zayin Beis. Says the Magen Avram, the following. On the Mechaber, that's talking about kosher, Nishmatu lo ritzuos min al v'sandal, o shenishmat rova regel, if you have some type of strap or shoelace that's become loose from the shoe, you're allowed to reattach it, but you're not allowed to be kosher. Says Magen Avraham, when it comes to a new shoe, then it's prohibited to put in a shoelace. The mesakei mana, because that's tikkun mana. V'adin b'sarvel o b'mifnasayim. The same applies also to pants. What would be the parallel in pants? Let's say that pants have a string that's sometimes used to hold the pants in place. Aval avnate, but a belt, shari lahachnas dimachnasayim, dulo mevakil lehasam, v'asi lahachnas lahatzi todir, dulo mikron miskumana. It's only going to be considered tikumana if it's something that you're going to leave there. But if it's something that the derech is to take in and out, so that's why it's mutter to put your belt into the belt holes on Shabbos. But be careful in terms of putting in a new shoelace, or for that matter, even a string into, you know, we've discussed with other halachos about the string from the sweatshirt. But it might be an issur to put the string of the sweatshirt in, so then in such case, tightening, we saw, is not going to be a problem of tofer. But to put it in initially, where the derech is for it to stay, then it could be that it's going to be like a shoelace. Let's just see how it's codified by the Mishnah Berurah. Shin Yud Zayin, Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. In Mishnah Berurah, it's Sif Katan Yud Zayin. Yud Ches, actually. Haritzuas likman kalma, v'dafkan osan haritzuas. Avo ritzua chadashi shalo haisa shem tchila asur, v'mikri miskin mana. It's interesting, quoted from the name of the Elia Rabba. The Elia Rabba is just elaborating on that Magen Avram that we had mentioned. So that's another example that we have on the books of Tikkun Mana. Two examples, one from the Gemara by the Mochen, and the other in regards to the Shulis. Der Chagav Rav Nevensal Shlita over here has a Ha'ara that he says, what happens if you put in a shoelace of a different color? So he says, if you put in a shoelace of a different color, so then clearly you don't want it to stay there. So that's from Nevensal's Eitzah, if you were stuck on Shabbos, to put in a shoelace of a different color, then it would not qualify as tikkun mana. Both Rav Yisrael and I here have the old edition. I think in the newer edition, Rav Nevensal has a couple more lines about this. But this is what's in the old edition. I don't remember what those other two lines said. Okay. Either way, that's halach in regards to the shoelace. Okay. So these are the two examples that we have on the books, and that's basically it. First of all, how do we decide whether something qualifies as bona or as makir patish? We said that there is a case of binyan bekelim. Right? There's something called a binyan bekelim. So how do you qualify whether it's bona or makir patish? So it's not an easy answer to the question, and there are a few parts to answer that question. Chiluk number one is already found in the Me'iri, even though that's up to debate. The Me'iri appears halfway through your booklet, after the letter from Rav Shlomo Zalman. The Me'iri is on Kuf Hei. Kuf Dalet on the base going to Kuf Hei. It's in your page, it's the first of the two. And he says the following. The Iri is discussing the Gemara on Kuf Dalet that talks about Mashlim Os Achas L'Sefer Torah. If a person writes one letter for writing into a Sefer Torah, he's Chayiv. So says the Me'iri, in such a case, he's going to be Chayiv for the Isra of Kosef. The Me'iri asks on himself, why would it be the Isra of Kosev? What about the fact that now he makes the Sefer Torah complete? So the Me'iri says, first word on the line is V'gomer. V'chachmei Adoros. Let's go back to V'chachmei Adoros. Three lines into Dibar Maskel Afalpi. He says as following. V'chachmei Adoros Sholim Ba Kehogin V'yischayi Ba Mishum Makeh V'patish. Why aren't you going to be chayi from Makeh V'patish? V'tirtzu, skipping a line, Shalom Nehmer Makeh V'patish El B'malacha Shel Nishma L'Kula Kegon Shechotzav Evan Bahar V'nisparka Kolom Misviv Oseah V'nimtza Shel Nishma L'Malacha Tza Evan El Shalom Nafla. If you remember, we discussed that misates, that if someone knocks out the stone from the quarry, so then that's makir patish. Says the Me'iri, the reason why it's makir patish and not bona is because the stone has been entirely carved. All it needs is that last knock out. So says the Me'iri, the same applies to all other malachos. The instance when it's going to be makir patish is when the malacha is nishlama, that the malacha has been completed, and the only thing that needs to be done is one more thing, even though the item is done. The item is complete. So then in such a case, says the Meiri, that will qualify as Makkah B'Patish. That qualifies as Makkah B'Patish. If something has not been complete yet, that's not going to be Makkah B'Patish. Based on this, the Meiri explains why in many other instances, when you finish a Malacha, do you not say that you're doing Makkah B'Patish? Why is it that when you do Bishul, is that not Makkah B'Patish? So the answer is that Makkah B'Patish exists only after all of the Malachas have been completed, and then there's one more thing that's done to complete the item. So an example would be by Bona. You've built the entire building, and now, even though the building has been entirely complete, you want in this room to have a nice molding. So then in such a case, the molding could constitute Makkah B'Patish. Is it subjective? Is it difficult to be Magdir? Yes. But this is, that at least coming up with definitions, this is definition number one that the Meiri gives us. By the way, this also is not Pashut. The Minchas Chinuch says that when the Gemara says that you're chayv and oth achas, I didn't photocopy Minchas Chinuch, but it's in Kosev Os Yud Dalid. The Minchas Chinuch says that if you mashlim oth achas in the Sefer Torah, you're chayv for Kosev and Makkah B'Patish. We saw that the Chazon Ish and the Dirshu and Simon Shinchav Beis Ha'ara 25 disagrees with that. And he holds that you'll never be chayiv simultaneously. And Chazon Ish will work nicely with the Meiri. Again, I'm not saying the Meiri is saying exactly the Chazon Ish's position, but the Chazon Ish's position is that when it comes to Makkah B'Patish, you will never have Makkah B'Patish to coincide with one Malacha, and the Minchas Chinuch says that it is possible to have the two. This Shita, the Minchas Chinuch, is famous. There might have been a time that when I was discussing with you, that I might have said the opposite in the Shita of the Minchas Chinuch. I apologize. But the Minchas Chinuch holds that there is, that the Chiyuv is when you have completed a Malacha, even if you've completed two Malachos as well. If it could qualify as Makkah B'Patish, you've completed an item, it could be Chayv for Kosev as well as Makkah B'Patish. Okay. That is Chiluk number one. Another Chiluk number two between Bona and Makkah B'Patish is what we saw from the Evan HaOzel last week. And that is that the Isser of Bona, when it comes to Kalim particularly, and for that matter Bona in general, is Harkovas Dvarim. Is only when you're attaching things in a way that is strong, is what we spoke about last week, the Isser Tzkiah, is when you screw things together. If it's not ba'ofen mehudak legamri, then that's not going to be called bona. And we saw that the Rambam, when he introduced the Tolada of bona, the Rambam emphasized the idea of bringing and attaching different parts together. So if you take a look, Rabbi Ribiat, on page 1123, take a look towards the end of the booklet, in 1123, Rabbi Ribiat gives us a very important distinction between, I don't have 1123 photocopied over there. Let's lose his examples. I don't have the formulation, but his examples are excellent as well. Here he's giving the twin. Yeah, let's take a look at 1113. It'll just as well work for us. Any time that you're attaching things, but you're not being markiv devarim, so then in such a case, that would qualify as Makkah B'Patish if you're completing a kli, even though it's not going to be bona. So for example, a pendant into a necklace. So, you know what a pendant is, right? You have, let's say, a woman's name, and then you're attaching that onto the necklace. Now the attachment itself could be loose, it's not necessarily tight. So that's asur. And that's going to be Aser Alts Makkah B'Patish. But it's not going to be Aser Alts Bonet. Because for Bonet, what you have to do is to be Markiv Kalim. And Rabbi Ribiat points out that that's exactly the example that we have of the case of the mochin as well as the shoelaces. In both of those cases, those aren't instances of harkavas devarim. There isn't harkavas devarim, and since it's not harkavas devarim, it can't be bona, but it's makah bepatish because now you're making a kli. So, chiluk number one that we saw up until now is that makah bepatish takes place after all malachos. It can never coincide with a malacha. And chiluk number two of whether to decide whether it's bona or makah bepatish is that if you're making a kli, but you're not being bona bekelim, like we've spoken about previously, the case of iser tzkiya, where you're attaching items together, screwing them together, like the Gemara and Kuf Beis on the base, a sufisa bikupina demara, sufisa bikupina demara, there you're attaching, you're making it a new entity by harkavas devarim, then you're being bona the kli. When you're taking the pendant and you're attaching it to it, so now you have completed a kli, but not by making not by making the pendant and the necklace as one, you haven't made them one entity, but what you've done is you've made a functional utensil that has two different parts to it. You haven't been markiv dvarim to make it davar echad. So that is the second distinction between the two. The third distinction between the two is going to be a beautiful diuk in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara both did not mention when it came to the feathers that when the feathers came out, don't take out the feathers! Don't take out the feathers because you're going to be soser. The reason there's no problem with soser is because there's no boneh. So in contrast, makah bepatish is different than boneh in the sense that boneh has its twin brother, which is the Isra of Soser. However, when it comes to makah bepatish, there is no Isra of Stira. Why? Beautiful, kafta beferach. Because when it comes to bona, so there you've made something, Soser is taking it apart. Tikkun mana is not the pshat that you've made a new entity. You haven't made a new entity, but rather you've created a functional kli. Creating a functional kli, there's no Isra of making the kli dysfunctional. L'maynach gemina, in most instances, it'll be permissible to remove the pendant. It's not going to be a problem to take care of the pendant. And that was 1124 that I sent you before with Rabbi Ribiat. Rabbi Ribiat there says, removing a shoelace from a shoe is permissible. This connecting a loosely connected pendant is going to be permissible. And tearing open a thin cellophane is going to be permissible, even though producing the original packaging might be makah bepatish, right? When they close it, that's going to be makah bepatish, but removing it is going to be permissible. So that's another nafkamina between makah bepatish and bona bekelim. And then another nafkamina emerges beautifully. In regards to the halacha of bona, we saw in Shin Yud Gimel Sivav, that most poskim in most instances are makel if it's roughly. Let's take a look and see it inside. Again, it's dependent on a few different shitos, but the bottom line is that Shin Yud Gimel Vav, the most basic shita of the Mechaber, is that mita shel prakim also achzul lahatzkel and talka chayiv chatas v'imhi refuya mutter lechatzchila. That if it's derech roughly, it's going to be mutter. And we saw, even though the Ramah disagrees, the Chazon Ish, when you have a keli, that is the derech is to be mehudak, the Ramah is machmir, the Chazon Ish paskins meikur d'dina, like the mechaber, that at the end of the day, once it's roughly, it's going to be mutter legamri. So this is another nafkamina between binyan bekelim and makah bepatish. When it comes to boneh, that the isra of boneh is har kavas dvarim, to make a new thing, and that's the isra of binyan bekelim. If you have a maisa uman, you make it into a new thing. So if it's roughly, you didn't make it into a new thing. What about the pendant? The pendant isn't necessary, it could be roughly. It doesn't have to be strongly attached. Nevertheless, it's going to be what? It's going to be the isra of makah bepatish. Finally, the last nafkamina number five, and then we'll review, the last nafkamina is going to be in regards to putting the items back. If you had a kli that you had attached, let's say glasses, and the screw fell out and you screwed it back in. So that's going to be bona bekeli. What happens if the screw fell out? So then again, if you put it back in, so then in such a case, that's going to be it's going to be chayiv. What would one say in regards to if you had makav a patish and then the item fell apart? What would the halacha be in such an instance? So here, what's that? Oh, very good. So the chura, that's the Gemara by the Mochin. So here comes out a tremendous chiddush. That when it comes to makav patish, so just like as Rav David points out, when it comes to the Mochin, the halacha is that once it came out, you're allowed to put it back in. So halacha lemaisa, if the pendant has already been made, so then and slipped out of the necklace, so then in such a case, one would be allowed to put it back. If, however, it's an item that needs to be strongly attached, so then you're back into the sugya of bone bekeli. So the iser of makav patish is to create that kli once, and once that kli has been created, so then in such a case it's going to be mutter. The avrichim were previously mefalpel. What would you say in regards to the pillow where all of the feathers have fallen out? So in such a case, then l'chura the entire shame kli has been gone. Yeshla ayin. But at the end of the day, that's what follows, that when it becomes separate, then you'll be allowed to put it back. In contrast to when it comes to binyan bekelim, it's going to be asur. So let's apply that already lemaisa. So therefore, if you have a case of makav patish, so where you're putting together an item, so then in such a case, like in the case of the pillow, if the feathers come out, it's going to be mutter to put it back in. Similarly, when it comes to a pendant, if you made the pendant was already made and it came off, you'd be allowed to put it back, be able to put it back in. Just like we saw, another example is in Shin Yud Zayin, we saw when it came to the shoelace, if the shoelace came out, you're allowed to put it back in. However, those things that are qualified as binyan bekelim, once it came out, so then there was soser. If there was soser, then you can have bone again. So what would an example of that be? So it was a good test case would be glasses with the lenses inside spectacles, inside the glasses. So it really depends on how the lenses fit in. If the lenses need to be snapped inside, so that would qualify as mahudak. So then in such a case, when the lens comes out, it'll be prohibited to snap it back in. However, if it was put back loosely, so then in such a case, then that wouldn't qualify as binyan bekelim. It's not binyan bekelim, and it wouldn't be a problem of makav patish because the kli was already made and is just simply being reattached. That, if you take a look, is what Rabbi Ribiat says on page 1114. Let's take a look and see that inside. Loosely connected assemblies are only forbidden to be assembled for the first time. On the other hand, reassembling loosely connected parts is generally permitted, as long as the item is not considered broken in its disassembled state. However, components of firmly combined items that became disconnected may never be reattached on Shabbos. For example, while it's permitted to reinsert a shoelace that came out of a shoe or a pendant, it's absolutely forbidden to screw in the handle of a broom that came off or replace a chair leg that fell out of its groove. Similarly, if the lens of one's eyeglass fell out, one may not snap them in back into the frame. So that fits in beautifully with our Havana that we have from Rav Isser Zalman. Before I take questions, let me just give one more halach lemaisa application in terms of makav patish. The Magen Avram in Simin Shin Mem Sif Katan Yud Aleph gives another example of makav patish bekelim. Magen Avram says, "Machat shenis akma afilu ma'at also leposhta a needle that has bent out of shape. So then you're not allowed to bend it back into shape. That would also qualify as makiv patish. So therefore." Uh, That's a good question. That's you, very good. Very good. In a chanami. Right. So Rabbi Ribi had answers your question.
What question?
Here, let me 11:14. Also included under the general concept of creating is any significant repair of an item. An act of repair is equivalent to recreating, that is, completing the broken item. Therefore, bending firm items back into their proper shape is also considered a forbidden act of repair. The Archa Shabbos has an example of a piece of silverware that's been bent out of shape. So then in such a case, bending it back into shape, the halacha is that that one would be chayiv. So what Reb David was stopping on is, it does that qualify as makia patish or binyan bekeu? Because if you have the machat, so we just got through saying that makia patish is only doing something for the first time. So Mag Avram here is mechadish to us as follows. If a machat is bent out of shape entirely, that's no longer usable, so then in such a case, bending it back into shape, is now making a new machat. That's called making a new machat. So therefore, the halacha is that it's going to be considered makeh b'patish on that kli. The Archa Shabbos extends it even to when it comes to silverware that has bent out of shape, that bending it back into shape also qualifies. One could be mefakpik with that psak of the Archa Shabbos. And based on the above svaros, say as follows. In order to be chai from makeh b'patish, it has to be that it lost its entire shame kli, entirely. Because what did we see? That makeh b'patish, once it was done once, you're not going to be chayiv if you're done afterwards. So Archa Shabbos must be assuming that it's not called a spoon at all. So the question is that really called, does anybody have the Archa Shabbos here? You have it there, Rabbi Yaakov? May I? Maybe I'll be mefakpik with him. Thank you. Ms. Psak. In the meantime, I'll take your question while I'm looking for it. I've been seeing you have your hand up before. You're about to ask me something? No?
Certainly.
Yeah?
Bent. Needle is more functional than an empty pillowcase.
So again, the question, like the Talmidim we're discussing, the question is over there, was it entirely bent, were the feathers entirely taken out? Was that what was going on?
In Reverbia, in Machav Patash, he has a chiluk between what he calls repairing and restoring. He says that any time that the article is soft, when it goes out of when some of the feathers come out, when you're putting that together, that's not called repairing a pillow. It's called restoring a pillow. But he says even if the glasses are slightly bent out of shape, then that would be considered repairing. That's it. And he basically says the chilek is between soft items and hard items. That there's no such thing as a minor break in a hard item. Anytime a hard item is somewhat broken, and put it back together is called repairing. I just didn't, without
right.
my back, I just in the front, you know.
Right.
That's
right. Right. Okay, well, let's one thing at a time. First, let's deal with the pillow, then I want to come back to the hard and soft, because that he does say something nice, mechudish about that I have in the booklet. In regards to the pillow, l'chura, it's hard to understand according to the Magen Avraham. The Gemara, unless to say that there's a little bit of feathers there still left. It's hard to understand the Gemara according to Magen Avraham, because I agree with your kasha that according to Magen Avraham, why would it be that there's a difference between a machat that's bent out of shape versus a pillowcase that's been entirely emptied? Maybe tell me you have answers, but just one second. Coming back to the machat case, so again, our yisod is, let's review our yisod. Our yisod is that when it comes to, just let's crunch one of the basic yisodes that we've just said. When it comes to binyan bekelim, there you're combining different pieces together and you're creating a new entity, you're creating a new kli. When it comes to makeh b'patish, You don't have to be combining them into one new entity. As long as you're creating something new that's functional, that the Rivka is now going to wear her pendant on her necklace, even though those are two different pieces, that's going to be considered Makir Patish. The Nafkamina is, of course, if it comes apart. When it comes to Kalim that come apart, then putting it together is going to be a new Maisa Bona. When it comes to Makir Patish, you already made it, and now you're just reassembling it again. That's called reassembling. It's going to be Mutter. The Magen Avraham seems to have an interesting Chumrah. The Magen Avraham seems to say that when it comes to Makir Patish, if the item, let's use Rabbi Zion's words from Rabbi Riviat, if the item needs to be repaired, in other words, the item is no longer functional, so then bending it back into shape is going to be mutter. However, it would seem to me that's only when the item is not functional at all. In other words, it would seem to me that the Magen Avraham is talking about a case where the needle, it can't be used. It's spent in such a way that you wouldn't be able to sew. Then in such a case, it would be yasser. So therefore, I just want to point out that the Archa Shabbos that says, kapit shenit akma, a spoon that was bent out of shape, asr liyasher otav b'shas mishum isr makir patish. So, l'chura would really depend, it would seem to me, based on the way we're understanding bonei makir patish, it would depend to me, in what way was the bent out of shape? If this, at the kapit, at the spoon part of the spoon, how do you describe that? The bottom of the spoon is bent out of shape that you wouldn't be able to eat your cereal, and then you're bending it back into shape. So then, ain't a chanami. Then that's going to be makapaz. That would be like that. But what if the handle is a little bit bent out of shape to the point that you might be embarrassed to put that down in the table? But if no one was, but at supper when it's just you and your wife, you would definitely use that spoon. So then, in such a case, then it would seem to me that to bend it back on Shabbos, the halacha would be that it's mutter. So it's a little bit vague because based. Again, it could be that the Aruch HaShabbos is disagreeing on the whole approach that we've seen up until now. But based on what we've seen above, that the halacha is that when it comes to Makir V'Patish, it needs to be that you're doing a full repair, so then it can't be a kli, but as long as it's a kli, and it was once a kli, it's going to be mutter, which is going to explain why the halacha is that to put back the feathers in the pillow is going to be mutter, even though l'chatkila you're not allowed to do it. It would seem to me that there's more room to be makel than the Aruch HaShabbos gives in regards to the case of the spoon. What Rabbi Zion had added was a very nice point, and that is Rabbi Riviat then goes even a step further based on the above. Rabbi Riviat then, based on our five chilukim between Binyan and Makir V'Patish, Rabbi Riviat says that explains why when it comes to weaving a garment or sewing a garment, that's not an iser of bona. We said that bringing different things together qualifies harkavas kalim. It's going to qualify as bona. So Rabbi Riviat wants to argue that only applies to binyan, is going to only apply to hard items. If you have something that's soft, then that's not going to qualify as bona. Harkavas kalim is to make a solid mass that's strong, as a contrast to something that's soft. That's a little bit of a chidush, but that l'chura, it's not bad, and that's what seems to emerge. Okay. Beautiful. Yes?
Back to the macha case, would that be any less of a kli than a broken necklace that's lost like the anchor of it?
I think so, because I think when you have a necklace that has two different parts to it, so the necklace and then you have the pendant. The necklace functions by itself. Could be, it might not, maybe a girl will notice a necklace that's normal for the pendant to go on, and when that which doesn't is missing its pendant. But at the end of the day, it's a functional necklace, and the pendant is functional by itself. In contrast to Harkavas Kalim, so there you have things that aren't, the mita shel prakan, the kanis shel seyotin, doesn't work until you put them back together. So then that would not qualify as binyan b'kelim. They're two different items. In contrast, the chiddush of makir v'patish is if you make something that a girl is now going to want to wear, even though each one of these things were functional by itself, then that's makir v'patish. And then to reassemble is not an iser of makir v'patish. It's a fascinating chiddush in regards to makir v'patish, but l'chura that emerges from the Gemara. But like Rav David pointed out, the one thing that we're going to have to say, I think you have to say in the Gemara, is unless... Is you want to give another suggestion? I'll just repeat so everybody knows what we're referring to, is that l'chura, if all of the feathers came out of the pillow, so then it's not a pillow anymore. So then if you're putting back all of the feathers, then in a chanami, that would be a new makir patish. In contrast to the pendant and the necklace, there the necklace exists, the pendant exists, and that would not qualify as makir patish put together again. Yeah?
Two separate things.
Sure.
One, so to raise the sort of play instruments, is it might break in Shemi Sakti and Klishir. So it might be at an extreme level, like it's broken, but still something that was once a kli, hold on, fix it.
Right. Unless we're gonna, it's going to be like the machat, that it's not functional anymore.
Right. And that could be our simple answer.
Right.
There's some idea that machat could still be even like after it was once a kli.
Right. So then maybe this will be might be behind the Magen Avraham Yisod, that whenever you have a kli that becomes entirely unfunctional, dysfunctional, which again falls into what Rabban Zion was quoting, that to repair something that's not a kli, then ein hachanami, that would qualify as makav patish. Yeah. And other points?
Just like we had it gathered by Bonav Sarah Luman, like last
right.
Zero. Is that could that be helpful here?
Dahaino.
Not also helpful for the machat, but maybe like to put feathers back in the pillow is very easy. Maisa, similar, like, it's just like I guess what everybody was saying, it's restoring it. Like you don't like bring it to someone to repair it. It's a very easy thing to do, so it doesn't lose its shin kli.
Right, but the problem is here we're talking about makav patish.
But maybe
there's some things that bother.
That'll define like whether you've lost the shin kli or not. How broken is it?
Uh-huh. And once upon a time when they made the pillow was made by an uman?
Well, the first time you make it is automatically making it into a kli. But once it's made, it takes more to loop, like in Hodel stomach. It takes more to lose the shin kli than to get
to
it.
To create it.
We have that in the initial.
Right.
Right,
that there's... Right. I agree with Rav David's question, both Rav David's questions. I agree that at the end of the day, it's hard for me to imagine how an empty pillowcase, mamish, an empty pillowcase, could qualify as still being. What's the difference between that and when the feathers went in beforehand? Again, it's not going to be a kasha on the whole yisod. When it comes to makav patish, you'll have many times where the whole thing has not disappeared. It's mostly here. But in case of the pillows, unless the pillows in those days had some type of base that was outside of the feathers. So let's say some pillows that we have today, you'll have some type of mesh or some type of soft material, and then there are feathers that are added in. So maybe it could still function as a pillow, it's just not the same type of pillow. Maybe in those days it had some type of mesh, it could still be used, but it wouldn't be the same quality pillow. So then in such a case, putting the feathers in is the first time is makir patish, and then if it falls out, then it'll be hasar. Yeah.
Is it possible that maybe when it comes to a pillow, I'm just making one who came with them out, I'm not sure that's so crazy, that they would take in and out the feathers. It's not like it accidentally, like, I think that maybe...
Melosh and lahachzir.
Right. So if, I'm not sure that's true, but if that is true, then it could be that my das, when I put the feathers in the pillow, is that, and later I'm going to take out these feathers, and then I'm going to put them back in, and then I'm going to take it out, and then I'm going to put it back in. So it would be there, if that was the case, you can't view the pillowcase with no feathers as being not a pillow. It's
right.
Broken. This is just what I do with the pillow during these hours, and then I return the feathers.
I like your pshat. I don't think it's mufrach in Rashi. I wanted it to work, but Rashi's lashon is batiki. Rashi says lahachzir lekarzeh shenaflo mimeno. Rashi's lashon is that they fell out.
Right.
And it's also the mechaber.
Yeah. Shenaflo mimeno. Right. Doesn't tonight. Maybe it's like the other point that we were saying, that you had a mesh, and it functioned as a basic level pillow, but really, Gushmaka pillow is only the ones that had the feathers that are put inside. But it's still a pillow. And then when it falls out, that'll be a halacha. Okay, the Siyata Dishmaya, we did these three Roman numerals. Rabos, I just want to ask you what you would like to do in the next few days. I'm game for. I want to do with it. I have a slight preference, but I'll only execute my preference based on if it's a split vote. How many people would like to do more chazara and have a bechina on Monday or Tuesday? And I would like to do the Asiyas HaOl, and we would do that after Pesach as soon as we resume after Pesach. or how many talmidim would like to squeeze in Atzias HaOl in these next two shiur. Those are our two choices. We might still have to go for after Pesach because OL has by the way, it's very lemaisa. As I'm going through, I see more and more how lemaisa Atzias HaOl is. How many people would like to have more chazara? Show of hands. How many people would like to do OL in the next couple of days? Either way, I could get the Bechina for you on Tuesday. Either Bli Neder. I could. Whoever wants it, I'm flexible on. That I'm flexible. If there's a Ratzon. If the Bechina is going to be after Pesach, so then I would like to, because it's a very short Zman. It's a short Zman, so I would like to have the Bechina right away. I don't want to leave another. If we're going to leave a week after Pesach, then we're going to have 4 weeks. So either Chazar now, this week plus Pesach, or Chazar just on Pesach. You had a little bit of time now when I was away. So again, show of hands. How many people would like to start OL now? How many people would like to do Chazara now? It was a split decision. Okay. It is a little bit easier for me also to do Chazara now and start OL right after Pesach. So Mitzvah Hashem. This way, my main cheshbon is this way I could mark your Bechinas before. The next one, I give you the next one. So, okay, good. So that means, right. I have Myra McComas for OL already. It'll be my pleasure to get them to you. But I think so. We'll have Chazar now, and whoever wants the Bechina, come over to me if you want the Bechina written by Monday or Tuesday, or Sunday, Monday. Come over to me, and I'll make my business clean out there to have it written by that. Okay?
Thank you.
Yashu Khan.
So the next year is after Pesach.
So next year, will anybody know the first?